Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 173, and it's 2022. Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year, Mary. Happy 2022.
Yep. So we haven't podcasted for about 3 weeks. We usually take part of the month of December off every year. So we have lots to catch you up on. So this episode will be like half weekly update or like half a month update, and then half recapping the Bachelorette finale and after the final rose. So let's see. Last time we talked to you, we had gone to my cousin Sarah's wedding. We got flu shots, went to the Kraken game with Chip, and Brian's mom had just gotten a new kitten.
Yes.
So Brian, you can pick up from there. I think the main thing that we did after that before you left for San Antonio was we made some Christmas cookies with some of my aunts. Like the day before you left for San Antonio, I believe. So we made 185 sugar cookies.
Yeah, there are a lot of cookies. A lot of cookies.
Yeah, noodle tinglings. And we made a lot of cookies that day. And then you went to San Antonio, I think the next day after that. So do you want to talk about your time there?
Yes. Yeah. So I got to go home for Christmas. I basically took that week off. So God bless vacation days. So I got to go home to San Antonio and meet Dumbledore. Dumbledore is, like you said, the new kitten my mom got, and he has like a little white spot under his chin, which kind of looks like Dumbledore's beard. Dumbledore's old wizard. Just so you guys, just
I was wondering where the name came from, but that makes
sense. Well, I'm not sure exactly why she picked Dumbledore, but it kind of has like a white beard. So maybe that inspired it. Mm-hmm. But yes, he's about 2 pounds. So, you know, you can pick him up with probably like a couple fingers and he's 3 months old and he's basically pouncing all over the place like a new kitten would. He's jumping on Hector, who's my older cat. That's probably around 20 now. So he's trying to stay clear of Dumbledore, but Dumbledore always just finds him. So, I feel bad for Hector. So Dumbledore's running around the apartment, the house. And I got to take a picture of him trying to climb a tree for the first time. And he basically went like a foot up and then it got too scary because he was too high off the ground. So he went back down. But other than just petting my new kitten, other things I did for this Christmas was, I should mention first that my brother was also going to come home for Christmas, but he wasn't feeling that well. And he took a COVID test and he ended up being positive. So basically for Christmas, we basically just had a phone call and just talked to him, made sure he was okay and all that stuff, which he is, just for the record. He didn't feel good traveling, and you're not supposed to be traveling anyways. Mm-hmm. So he stayed home for Christmas. Let's see, what else did I do? I got to watch the new Spider-Man movie. I think it's already reached over $1 billion in revenue. It's definitely, I think, the most popular movie, most revenue this year in terms of movies. The theater in Texas was about 50% masked. So I was like, shit, that's not good. I did not get COVID for the record. I thought the movie was really good. It plays off of other previous Spider-Man movies. Like there's like a nostalgia factor. So if you've seen like Tobey Maguire, like the original Spider-Man movies, which is about like 15 years ago at this point, because we're old, you would recognize some of the characters. What I decided to get my mom and my brother for Christmas was basically money to visit me in Seattle. You actually showed me this, Mary. There's these flight vouchers that you can do and put a certain amount of money towards them. And then basically it's like a gift card that goes to any of the main airlines. So that was a very unique gift and it was very appreciated. And let's see, what else did I do? I got to watch the newest season of The Expanse, which basically came out for December. So I just binge watched that with my mom. And nice. It was like, for some reason, they only did 6 episodes for an entire season, which sounds like you get cheated. But that I got to do that. And then lastly, I had a little bit of a panic on the way home. So
you came home the day after Christmas on the 26th.
Yes, I came home right after. Yeah, on the 26th, I had just checked in, got everything packed. I'm like, okay, I'm good to go. My flight's in a couple hours, or it was like 5 hours away. So I'm like starting to like think about packing everything. Oh, wait, there's one more thing I should mention. Right before that, you requested that I go get COVID tests.
Okay, so yeah, so we were trying to find COVID tests in, you know, the Seattle area, and they're very, very hard to come by here. And then you had mentioned that you wanted to take a COVID test after you came back from Seattle.
Right.
So you had mentioned to me that you had found you could go to a store there and you could get one COVID test per person. And so I told my parents this and we're like, hey, if you could just go to the store, like if you're able to, like once a day and just get one COVID test a day while you're there for, you know, get five or six tests or however many, could you do that? And then you're like, sure. So you went to the store, you know, you said you went to like seven stores and you got like one COVID test per store, which is still better than what you can find in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then you went to another store, you said, and then all of a sudden you texted me, how many tests do you guys want?
Yeah.
And I was like, I called my dad and I was like, cause we were having a family gathering for my dad's 60th birthday, which I'll talk about later. And so we were trying to find a bunch of COVID tests so we could test before the party. And so then we asked for like about 20 tests and you were able to come through and bring them all home, except it took a bunch of space in your suitcase. But
yeah. So it took a bunch of space in my suitcase, which made it a little bit bulkier than usual, which actually comes back to bite me, which I'll tell you a little bit later.
Right now, I think.
So when I basically booked my flight, it got canceled because all the flights were getting canceled that were, I think SeaTac was the most canceled flights
in the world, I think,
in the last world
week. Yeah. I think between Omicron and all the snow that we suddenly got the day after Christmas and the day after that, that it kind of wiped out airlines. Plus it's like probably the busiest travel weekends the week before Christmas and the day you were coming back.
Oh, so yeah.
All of that didn't help with Omicron and, you know, pilots and flight attendants not being able to fly if they test positive for COVID and all that. So I think between the weather and COVID, it really messed things up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I get this message saying, sorry, your flight's been canceled. Please stand by while we find you another flight. So I'm like waiting. I waited like 30 minutes. All right. Nothing's happening. So I like started calling customer service. I'm like, please, I need to get going. I have work the next day. So originally the flight was Alaska, but it was provided by United. So Alaska's like, oh, we don't deal with this. You bought this through United. So go talk to United customer service. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go talk to United customer service. Then I'm calling their lines. They're like, oh, this is an hour and a half wait time. I'm like, oh, this is atrocious. So I got fed up. I packed my bags and everything. And I just, my mom took me to the airport, which is about 20 minutes away. Luckily for me, it was very close. So I just literally walked up to, you know, like the main area where people drop off their, not the carry-on, but their luggage that they want to check in. And I'm like, all right, this got canceled. I need a new flight. And she's like, I'll just get this done for you. Took 10 minutes. It was easy peasy, but oh my God.
You're that really was lucky. You're so lucky.
I'm so lucky.
And this was not a direct flight. You were going to have a direct flight
originally.
And then this one, you had to go through Houston and then to Seattle. But all in all, you landed about at the same time, right?
You're
going to land at about 10 PM.
Right.
So super lucky.
Right. So my one flight had a layover and basically when I was boarding from Houston to go to Seattle, one of the flight attendants slash, you know, the people that scan your ticket right before you get onto the plane and leave the gate said, your carry-on is looking a little bulgy. So, we're going to check this in for you. And I'm like, okay, sounds good to me. So I basically handed it to her and kept on walking onto the plane.
Your clothes, your laptop and, you know, all the COVID tests. 25 COVID tests.
Yeah, around that amount of COVID tests. And then when I arrive in Seattle and I'm waiting for, you know, my baggage to pop out of the, you know, like where all the baggage comes out, I'm like, all right, it's not coming. Oh, the conveyor belt stopped moving. Where is my luggage? So I went up to the kiosk and I'm like, hello, where's my luggage? And they're like, oh, we're sorry. It looks like it's still in Texas. So I'm like, what? All they had to do was put it on the plane. it was literally like 20 feet away from the plane. But yeah, apparently they forgot. So that was a pain. And then
you took a light rail home.
Yeah, so I took a light rail home, and then I had to transfer from the light rail to a bus to go back to my spot as well. But since it was the day after Christmas and it was snowy, all the buses were like delayed. Like usually they come in increments of like, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. This one came in increments of an hour. And basically I just missed the bus that I needed to take for an hour. So I basically had to like wait outside in the snow for like 50 minutes. And it was freezing. I was like, my whole life was flashing before my eyes.
You had been coming from 80 degree Christmas in San Antonio. And so
I know,
you probably weren't dressed for this snow.
Well, luckily I didn't have on shorts. I always put on long pants when I go on a plane just because planes are cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But by the time I got home, basically it was like 2:30 in the morning. And it felt like, you know, like 4:30 in the morning because of San Antonio time. And I was just so tired. And, you know, I had to start working like, I don't know, like six hours, or 4 hours. Yeah. So I started work, then I started figuring out where my luggage was. And then they eventually found it later in the next day, but they couldn't get it to me because it was snowing and it was just too icy. So then I had to wait another 24 hours. I'm like, oh gosh, I really need my clothes. I need everything I own.
Your laptop, your COVID test.
Basically, I always overpack when I go places. Like if I need like 3 pairs of everything, I'm packing like 6 pairs of everything. So like that was like my entire weekly wardrobe of my favorite
clothes. All your favorite clothes.
Yeah. I'm like, I cannot lose this. But eventually I did get my luggage and all the COVID tests and everything eventually righted itself. But that was a very hectic return at least. But I had a good Christmas, Mary. So that's what I've been doing. How was your Christmas?
Okay. So yeah, I dropped Brian off at the airport that Saturday before Christmas. And then, you know, I wrapped presents and prepared for Christmas and packed, and, you know, it took me 3 or 4 times going up and down the elevator in my building to get everything into my car, just because I had to bring, you know, all my suitcase of clothes and then all my presents for my family and for my friends and all of that. So that was a lot of up and down, especially with the mask on, get pretty sweaty.
Oh yeah.
But then, you know, went over to my parents' house for Christmas. I did work the Monday through Wednesday, the week of Christmas, but then after that I got time off and I've had time off since then. But we were going to have about 13 people over for a Christmas Eve dinner, but ended up just with the Umlofs. So my Uncle Roy, Aunt Kathy, and Nate, and my cousin Nick had COVID. So wasn't able to join us, but we got to see him later on once was done with COVID. So that was fun that night. And then the next morning, my mom's side of the family came over and we had breakfast with them. And for Christmas, I ended up getting an air fryer lid. So not an air fryer, because I already have an Instant Pot. And so this lid, it goes on top of the Instant Pot and converts it into an air fryer. And I've only tried it, I think, 2 times so far, but it's so good. And I've made Trader Joe's orange chicken and then chicken wings. And both are really good. And then I also got, my brother and I both actually got Oculus Quest 2s for Christmas. So virtual reality headsets. And those are really, really fun. I'm playing a lot of Beat Saber, which is similar to Guitar Hero, but you're like waving lightsabers in the air. I mean,
that's fancy. That's super cool. You showed me. Yeah.
Feel really cool while you're playing the game, but then when someone's watching you, you look ridiculous.
Yeah.
like last night, the thing is you lose track of time in there. last night I was playing it and I only thought I'd been playing it for like 20, 30 minutes, but turned up to be an hour. But I'm getting better at it. I'm getting much better and it's really fun.
Yeah. And it's a workout.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, worked up a sweat. You're swinging your arms all over the place. You're turning. I'm only on the like normal to hard level so far. I'm not an expert, probably won't be for a while, but it's very enjoyable. And so those were both very fun. And I've been playing with those a lot since Christmas. And then, like I mentioned, the day after Christmas, it started snowing a bunch. And my parents live up on hill, so it's more than probably the typical Seattle Bellevue area.
Right.
And so, you know, just got snowed in for a few days and then came back to Ballard, and Brian and I exchanged presents. He made a big plant and then a really cool plant stand has spots for 7 plants. So I need to get more plants, turns out.
yes. That was the theme of my present to Mary, is just plants.
Yes. And the theme of my present to you was calendar. It was, yes, a calendar. I made a calendar with pictures of us from our 9 years of friendship. So
yeah, it's super cool. Different picture for each, multiple pictures for each month. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you'd see like a regular, you know, like any calendar with a certain theme, you'd have multiple pictures, but this was just our friendship. So that was
and,
super cool.
You know, friends' birthdays and then like national days, you know, national cheeseburger day, national whatever day, you know, just all throughout. So you can keep track of the important stuff. Cause if you all remember, Brian got a calendar last year and he said he was only going to put his doctor appointments on there, which there's only what, 4, 5, 6 doctor, dentist, eye doctor appointments a year. So it was going to be pretty blank.
Yeah. So yeah. That's literally what happened.
Yeah. Figure I'd fill some days in for him ahead of time. Yeah. And so then, you know, hung out in Ballard for a few days, then we went back to my parents' house and we were going to go up to Suncadia, for my dad's 60th birthday, you know, New Year's Eve. And so we were going to go over on December 30th. And so Brian and I come over, Chip comes over, we head out up there. It's snowing a little bit. I don't think it was too much, but then there was a hazardous chemical spill on the freeway, and so that shut down the pass. And so we didn't know how, they didn't say how long it was going to be closed, so we waited on the side of the freeway, or not on the side of the freeway, but took an exit and waited on the side for about an hour before we decided just go home. We were about 30 minutes from home, so we headed back, I think at like 5 p.m and we ended up going out to pizza for dinner, and then went, got home. And we were like, okay, we'll give it till 8 p.m. for the pass to, you know, reopen. Otherwise, we'll just go in the morning.
Right.
So we get home at about 6:30, I think 6:45 maybe.
And then we just take off our shoes and just start relaxing.
Chip gets in bed. Literally that second, I look at it again and it says the pass is reopened. And so we get back in the car. We start heading towards Issaquah. There's a weird sign above the freeway that says, passes closed exit 27. I'm like, I'm not seeing this anywhere on the Twitter page or on
their official website.
On the website, nothing. So we're like, okay, just keep on going. I don't know what this is. Snowing very hard at this point. It was, like I said, about 7:15, 7:30. And then we get to exit 27. And like I said, it was closed, or it wasn't closed, but against the request of accidents because it was snowing so hard, and it was getting pretty cold. And so we ended up turning around again and coming back, and we're like, okay, just go in the morning. So we did end up going the next day instead. And we stayed at this enormous house that fit, I think, up to 18 people. I think there was 12 of us maybe there. Mm-hmm. And then some of my cousins were, you know, staying at other places, came over. Unfortunately, we had, we were all gonna all get together, my dad's whole side of the family, but there was one positive COVID test in one part of the family, so not everyone could come, which is very sad.
Yeah.
But it was fun for the people we did get to hang out with, and tons of snow there. We celebrated my dad's birthday with a slideshow and trivia about him. Beginning of COVID, we had done family trivia on Kahoot for about probably 10 weeks, and we hadn't really done it since. So this one was all focused on my dad. So that was very fun. And we also got to play this fun game called Salad Bowl, which I'd played before. I don't know if you had, Brian.
No, I hadn't. I had to be, I had the directions explained to me, but it was super fun.
Yeah. So basically each person puts in three words into a bowl, any like salad type bowl, any words, phrases, whatever you want it to be. And then you split up into teams and there are three rounds. The first round, and each person gets 45 seconds to do each, to try to get as many words as possible. So the first round, you have to just explain the word without saying anything and just get through as many as possible in your turn. And then the second round, you have to act it out. And then the third round, you can only say one word. So in some ways it gets easier because if you can remember all of the words that are in the salad bowl during the first round, then you'll be like, okay, I know
these are the words. You'll have a guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe what they're trying to act out because you know what the word was from the first round, but they're just acting it out the second round and then saying one word the third round. And so it got very funny, all the rounds. And yeah, I was basically, the whole Christmas break.
Yeah. My favorite part about Suncadia was definitely, we got to walk around in the snow and look at the scenery. And there's this trail that just basically led to like an overlook of the forest. There's like forest with like snow covering every, you know, like treetop. And it was, it looked like I said this before, it looked like you'd see like of like some screensaver of like some like majestic snowy wonderland. I think your mom said it looked like the winter wonderland or like something like that. And yeah, it was really beautiful.
And you got your first pair of snow boots this
yes
few weeks ago, so that's big.
And now I definitely needed them.
Yeah, for that especially. But now you're like, maybe I should wear this more often because they're waterproof.
Yeah, like even in rainy Seattle, I was just walking around. I'm like, wow, I could just splash in the puddles. But
be an interesting
I'm not doing that on purpose. But yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, so that was a very fun trip. I had planned to see some friends between Christmas and New Year's, but you know, between Omicron and snow, didn't get to see anyone. So I, like I mentioned, I brought home a bunch of presents that I was going to give to friends over my parents' house, and then yesterday brought them all right back to my apartment, and so get them to people eventually. But
yep. Okay. They'll be delivered when they can be delivered.
Yep. And so the other part of this episode is just going to be recapping the finale of The Bachelorette. This aired the Monday before Christmas. And actually, as we're speaking tonight, January 3rd is the start of Bachelor, which we'll cover.
It never ends.
I know. There's really barely any time off. We'll start covering that season next week. But for now, we got to finish up past season. So the episode starts with, there's two guys left, just to, you know, jog everyone's memory. Two guys left, Nate and Brandon. And so the episode starts with the guys meeting at Michelle's family, and Brandon goes first, and her parents love him. They had met each other when they were in Minnesota, and she went on a date with him at her parents' house, and they went in the hot tub, all of that. So they had already met each other before, you know, he had a good impression on them that time. And they both her parents and her sister seemed to really like him and basically said he's already perfectly fitting into their family and that he's perfect in every way. Like, it couldn't have gotten any better. He also said he would love to move to Minnesota, which is a big, you know, perk for them. They really love to hear that. He said his job is remote and said, you know, he wants to support Michelle in her dreams of getting her master's degree and being a principal someday. So basically he said
he's checking all the boxes. Yeah, he's looking,
they were
like,
thrilled. They loved him.
They're like, you know, oh, I want him as a son-in-law. Bring him home. So they didn't say that, but that's what they were thinking.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about what happened when Nate met her parents?
Yeah. So the next day, Nate meets Michelle's family, and it definitely did not go as well as Brandon's day went. Nate was acting extremely nervous. He was fumbling over his words. At one point, he accidentally said he doesn't take love seriously.
He just said it wrong. He meant to say he does, but yeah. Her mom was like, what?
Yeah, and her mom, Michelle's mom was just like, okay, this guy's not that impressive. Nate's kind of just like this guy that just like isn't that serious. I think this was like his first real relationship too. Mm-hmm. Her dad asked if he'd moved to Minnesota and he said basically he wasn't sure. And of course, that's not the answer the dad wants to hear.
Especially compared to Brandon the day before. He's like, I'll drop everything for your daughter. I will move to Minnesota. Like, that's music to his ears. And the next day, this other guy's like, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then Michelle's sister asked him about how he kept, asked him about basically like what he basically wanted to be doing with Michelle. And he basically, you know, listed all this big bucket list of adventures that they wanted to go to. And, you know, try. And his sister was like, sometimes all those can be distractions from real life. Ventures are great, but how about being content and being in one place? So it's just giving the vibe that Nate's just not ready to settle down yet. Mm-hmm. Michelle's mom tells Nate that he doesn't seem like he's ready for an engagement. So there's a lot of things piling on Nate, but basically by his own doing. But overall, the big vibe you want to get from the comparison between Nate and Brandon is the family clearly does not like Nate as much as Brandon at this point.
Yeah. So then they go on their final dates with Michelle, and first Brandon goes, and they go jet skiing. And, you know, Brandon gives her his favorite sweatshirt, which she liked. And Michelle tells him that she's in love with him. Again, Nate seemed to be the front runner this whole time. She seemed to obviously like him more. So not the best idea to tell two people that you are in love with them, but it seems like a lot of the leads tend to do this every season. They just get so caught up. They just tell multiple people they're in love and they're like, oh, yep. Crap, I have to pick one of them. I can't.
I have to take it back.
Yeah. And you know, that's kind of hard to be like, oh, I'm in love with you. The next day, you know what? I'm breaking up with you. Like,
yeah.
So then that's the rough. Next day is Nate's final date and they go to some indigenous shaman date. They're in Mexico. They, you know, attempt to get Nate to open up. But he is kind of at a loss for words the entire time. And the ceremonial smoke keeps going out.
So he has to keep on relighting the candle, because you're basically supposed to say everything before the smoke goes out. He's like, oh, I need more. But he's never like, actually saying
sorry,
anything.
sorry, can you relight this thing like over and over? And it was like kind of awkward because she was like, you need to open up to me. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this was trying to help you, but it's not really working. He also keeps asking if what he's saying is correct or enough. It's just spill your guts and tell her how you feel, Nate. There's no rules or regulations to this, but he just can't seem to do it. And then he tells Michelle he never expected this to last this long and that he'd only brought two suits. And he's actually been on the show for about 2 months at that point. So he only has had two suits that whole time. But then he finally begins to open up a bit and they tell each other that they love each other. And then, you know, she's on a high note. She's like, great, Nate's opened up to me a little bit. I figured this out. So she walks back to her room for the night and there is a letter at her door from Brandon. And, you know, I think he's just trying to get the final word and be like, you know what? You spent all day with Nate, but I'm going to
just remember
write you a
me.
Letter. Yeah. Don't forget. I will see you. You will be seen. You know, I'll love you forever, blah, blah, blah. Whatever he needed to do to try to win this thing, basically.
Yeah.
So then the next day, I think, is the proposal. So go ahead.
Right. So the first person out of the limo is Brandon. And that's actually a tell because I hadn't known this, but the first person that comes out is always the loser because they can't just win or, you know, get the engagement ring because then the other person's just, you know,
already engaged.
Yeah, already engaged at that point. So we know what happens the first time we see Brandon's coming out, but we don't know what's going to happen next. So basically he goes down and he starts his proposal. And the waves are crashing so loud, it's very hard to actually hear what he's saying. But he says he doesn't want to spend another day without her. And then Michelle tells him that she's never met someone like him, but her heart has taken her in a different direction. He takes it. He's always too nice. He's like, oh, I still wish nothing for the best for you. And he'll always be there for her, which is very kind. And I remember there's like this scene of him just sitting on a rock, mm-hmm. looking out into the ocean. This is immediately after she basically dumped him and more or less told him that she's picking Nate over him. So then Nate arrives next, he proposes, then a mariachi band magically appears and they're basically fiancés. And then they yell that they're each other's fiance
several times.
And
Nate doesn't have as much of a way with words as Brandon does. So no, his proposal was a little shorter, but you know, he had just started opening up the day before. So
I don't know what Nate had going for him, but that's a totally different subject.
Yeah. But anyways, after that, you know, they're happily in love, happily engaged. And then the show, you know, scoots over to after the final rose, which is in, you know, studio, and Brandon has a chance to talk to Michelle, his first time seeing her since, you know, she broke up with him. And it's kind of weird because his suit inadvertently matches her burgundy dress like perfectly. It's kind of odd. But they both kind of just monologue to each other. Michelle basically says that she wanted to let Brandon know everything she was feeling, even if they didn't end up together. And then Brandon was like, it felt like his openness wasn't appreciated after seeing how hard Michelle had been working to push Nate to open.
That's so true.
Like Michelle was like, you know, prodding Nate the whole time, like, you need to open up. And Brandon,
she was
like,
giving him every chance she could.
Yeah. And Brandon's like, you know, open book, just, you know, telling her how he feels the entire time. So he was a little confused about how that worked out. You know, he was doing exactly what Michelle was trying to get Nate to do the whole time. And then another weird thing is Brandon actually said that her family gave him strength and that her parents gave him pointers on a successful marriage. So he's very grateful to her parents. But then Nate comes out, and then Michelle and Nate are, you know, making their first public appearance together on TV. Nate tries to explain what it's like to fall in love with Michelle, and follow me here, this is very confusing. He says it's like listening to a song and you have to listen to it a bunch of times before you realize that it's your favorite song. But with Michelle, he was with her a few times, but not a lot of times, but it took a few times, but not a ton. And it was a very drawn out metaphor that didn't make sense really. I understood what he was trying to get at, but it was,
yeah, he just doesn't have a way with words.
It was very long-winded and didn't quite make sense. But it was kind of funny. Their parents are now best friends and they text each other all the time. And Michelle's mom loves Nate now, not like Peter's mom, Barb, who was
angry at him for picking the wrong girl. She was angry at her son for picking someone she didn't approve or she didn't like more.
Yeah, but luckily Michelle's mom likes Nate now. And, you know, I guess Michelle has shown her some text messages that Nate had sent her and made her cry because it's so heartwarming. It's perfect, perfect guy for Michelle, blah, blah. So, I mean, I guess that's good. Got some family support, even though they very clearly like Brandon more.
I know.
And, you know, now magically Nate says he does want to move to Minnesota after all. And somehow,
lucky for him.
Somehow, you know, the show, they bring out this gingerbread house and they're like, oh, thanks for the gingerbread house. And they're like, no, look inside. And the show gave them a check for $200,000 for a down payment for a house. I mean, I don't know real estate in Minnesota really, but that seems like that could go a very long way.
Yeah, they're just probably a down payment. A mansion.
Yeah, down payment for a mansion more like than a house. I think, I don't know.
Yeah, but that could probably buy a house straight up.
I know. So, that was very kind. I don't think they've ever done such a grand gesture.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Well, Brian, you watched or you heard about this and you thought it was $20,000. I was like, no, it's $200,000.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, $20,000. That's nice. I mean, I would have been happy with any amount.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But $200,000 is an extreme amount. And I'm wondering why they did this, if they're trying to encourage a couple to stay together because most of the time they break up, or who knows why they suddenly decided, like, all the past bachelorettes must have been like, what the heck? Like, I didn't get any
maybe
money.
There's some contingency on it, like you actually have to stay together.
Well, yeah, for like the ring, you know, they get the ring for free and you have to stay together for at least 2 years to be able to keep the ring, but if you break up you have to give it back. Maybe there's something with this, but it seems like here's $200,000, go buy a house. If you break up, it's not like we're going to ask for that money back because it's a house.
I mean, maybe they'd be like, yeah, sell your house.
Yeah. So then they end the show and Clayton is the new bachelor and he comes out and they read some mean tweets about him because people don't seem to like him or know anything about him. And then they prepare the audience for his season, just have a preview. And next week, like I said, we'll be recapping the contestants and the first episode of that show. And then after that, don't worry, we'll go back to other topics. Right now, there's not really Gonzaga basketball to talk about because I don't know.
It keeps on getting postponed.
Three games at least have been postponed or canceled or changed opponents and then canceled. And it's kind of a mess. So we don't know when Gonzaga basketball will be back, but we'll talk about that someday when they're back playing.
When it actually happens.
And we have other topics to talk about, but you know, this week and then a little bit next week, we talk about the Bachelorette and Bachelor. So yeah, but hope everyone had a good Christmas or holidays and New Year's. And
have a great 2022.
Woo! We'll talk to you plenty of times this year, but yes, happy 2022 and see you next week. Bye.
Bye.